Welcome to A Moment of Bach, where we take our favorite moments from the composer's vast musical output, just a minute's worth or even a few seconds, and show you why we think they are remarkable. We are your hosts, Christian and Alex Giebert. Today, Alex has chosen a moment from the cantata BWV 104, Du Hirte Israel, Höre, from the aria, Beglichte Herde. Many Lutheran churches just celebrated Good Shepherd Sunday yesterday. That is, if you are listening to this podcast episode the day that it is coming out. And so I thought I'd pick something very shepherd-themed for today. This cantata, Du Hirte Israel, Höre, is actually meant for the second Sunday, Easter, so we missed it by a little bit. But, you know, I think the shepherd theme really shines through. And the reason why I chose this one specifically for Good Shepherd Sunday is because every single movement of this six-movement cantata has the word shepherd, or at least sheep or flock or that sort of metaphor, in it. In season one, we already talked a little bit about movement one of this beautiful cantata, a sort of stupendously serene pastoral movement. As is typical of a Bach cantata, the first movement is featuring the entire choir. Then the rest of the movements are alternating recitatives and arias by soloists. And then the final movement is another choir chorale, a short one, which is a harmonization of a hymn tune. In this chorale, we get Allein Gott in der Höhe sei er. And that is the tune. And what we get for the text is, of course, dealing with shepherds again. The translation, the Lord is my faithful shepherd in whom I put all my trust. He leads me, his lamb, to graze on beautiful green pastures. He leads me to fresh waters to refresh and nourish my soul. If that is starting to sound familiar to you, that is Psalm 23, probably the most famous psalm. He doesn't go into the next part of the text of walking through the valley of shadow of death, of the shepherd being with you while you walk through that valley. However, this is where our aria comes in, our bass aria, which I would like to focus on today. In this aria, we get these words from the bass singer. Happy flock, sheep of Jesus, the world for you is a heavenly kingdom. Here already you taste Jesus' goodness and also hope for faith's reward after death's gentle slumber. So, as befits the pastoral sort of vibe of this entire cantata, here we have something that's about death, but it's less scary than a lot of Bach's other work that deals with death. It's less dreadful. We get the death's gentle slumber. Sanften, right, before the word Todesschlafe. So sanft, gentle. We also get an interesting turn of phrase, at least theologically here. It's talking about you already taste Jesus' goodness here. The world for you is a heavenly kingdom. A lot of times we get things about the world being bad in these cantata texts and heaven being good, Christ being good. But here we get a little bit of, actually, the world for us sheep can be a heavenly kingdom, even though it is just a taste of heaven, as it says. And that taste, properly understood in Lutheran theology, is the sacrament of Holy Communion, basically, right? It's the body and the blood of Christ. I like this a lot because often in Lutheran theology and therefore in a lot of Bach's cantatas, when there is a focus on the world, it is about the world's disastrous calamity and disgusting sinfulness, yep. You know? But this is great because it shows a more positive outlook on the things that could be good in the world. And it also doesn't just do that thing that some of these passages do where it's just like, my life is misery, so I look forward to the pleasure of the next life.
Yep.
Which is such a reductive view of, I guess, spirituality. You know, it needs to be a little bit more interesting than that. In this case, the entire tone is, I guess it could have just been the heavenly kingdom only, but instead it's the world for you is a heavenly kingdom, which is a nice different angle.
It is, yeah. So at the beginning of this aria, we get an instrumental texture that Bach loves to use. He uses it in a lot of different arias. We have a sort of dark sound of oboe d'amore. With violin one on the top line, we have three obbligato lines that are in harmony. So that top line of oboe d'amore and violin one. The other two lines are violin two and viola. Here we get something that's a little more unusual for Bach's standards. These parts are not in any kind of counterpoint. These parts all move together in parallel. And let's listen to how that sounds at the beginning of this aria. So what that parallelism lends is this sort of like sense of absolute just serenity and peace here. There's not really a lot going on with counterpoint, because listen to the bass, it's a pedal point. The notes are jumping around from octave down, up in a lilting sort of slow jig. It's not really a jig. Sort of slow dance, slow shuffle. Sort of a Siciliano, maybe? So it's very simple as far as the counterpoint goes for Bach. But even so, just the beauty of that first little line. Dun, 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 dun. That's just unspeakably beautiful to me, just that first measure. Listen to that one more time. So why is Bach so good? Okay, let's just listen to that first measure. The first beat after a pickup note, the second beat repeats. It's the same as the first beat. It's the same. What's the third one? Almost the same, but the last note is higher. Why did he repeat that note at the end there? And keep the D on the bottom. So it becomes like that B there. What's it doing there? What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that B then is to move up to eventually reach the octave, right? Na 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 B. The next measure. Na 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 C sharp. And then here it comes to. Na, na. And that da 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 recalls the bum ba da at the beginning. So even just the first three measures of this melody, which is then harmonized simply in triads underneath, even just the first three measures of this melody is showing an absolute mastery over a sense of melody, melodic shape. The use of repetitions of beats, the use of repetitions of notes, the use of sequence in the second measure, and the use of pedal point in the bass, all coming together to create this perfect 5 seconds of music that opens the first few measures of this aria. This is what staggers me about Bach, Christian, is that this little thing right here, this unspeakably beautiful three measures, is just completely par for the course for Bach, and there's 200 cantatas with stuff like this in it. Like, yep. That's what staggers me about Bach. Okay, we have to let this play out a little more so we can hear the entrance of the bass solo. Typical format here, Bach brings in the vocal soloist with a melody that is similar to what we heard before, but not exactly the same. And the other obbligato parts continue to play as he sings, sometimes giving a rest while he gets to just sing without them. And much like the first movement, there's a sense of pastoral music being evoked here by all of it, but the bass line, you mentioned that the bass part is all the same note for a while. And that pedal point down there is supposed to be reminiscent of a low horn or like a bagpipe.
Yeah, like a drone of the bagpipe.
Drone,
yeah.
Sound. And the oboe, the use of the oboe is also sort of a shepherd type of instrument.
Right.
So in the B section of music here, we get the last few lines of the text, which is the after death's gentle slumber, right? Faith's reward after death's gentle slumber. And how does Bach choose to paint the picture of death's gentle slumber? Sanften Todesschlafe. With these da-da-da-da-da-da things, but now marked pianissimo. Probably in the original manuscript they were marked pianissimo, I would imagine. This manuscript happens to be lost, but some Urtext versions have pianissimo marked. So he gets to this low note on to, to-des-la. Here comes to that low note. And then he's coming up to a medium range note on Schlaf. And this is a long one, a long note. Of course, that same motive that he used before, this time accompanying very lightly that long note by the bass. And then after that long note, the bass gives us what is my favorite part of this aria, which is a run from the top D down all the way down to a low F sharp to end the B section. And then we're back to the introductory material, right? The repeat of that, which will take us into the closing of the A section. So let's listen to how that ending sounds at the end of the A section, because it will sound very familiar. The string and oboe parts sounding almost the same. But note a very slight difference at the very end, right near the last note, the way that that violin one and oboe part heads down. Na-na-na-na-na. It did that before, but it was in a different key when it did it, and now it targets the D as the last note so that it can end on D, which is our tonic note. And now, let's hear the end of that B section from this aria. If this introduction to a musical moment from the cantata Du Hirte Israel Höre has inspired you to hear the rest of the cantata, please see the link in the episode description so you can see the performance by the Netherlands Bach Society. To hear our new episodes as we release them, find us on your podcast app and hit subscribe.
Okay, Christian, what are we doing next week?
So next week we return to the jig from the Goldberg Variations.
Until next time, enjoy those moments.